Hello and welcome to this week's Start Stop Reflection from St. Stephen Walbrook. I'm Stephen Baxter. We start with an extract from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, even though football didn't come home and went instead to Rome, thereby adding to the 55-year-long wait for international silverware, the Euros provided exciting distraction, communal excitement, and perhaps surprising displays of passion amongst the English for many in the country. As so frequently, passions were clinically extinguished, courtesy of the ever dramatic and ever inadequate method of determining the outcome of a month of matches, the penalty shootout with its outrageous injustices. It was perhaps sadly inevitable that sickening racist comments would be presented by a grim minority, given undue visibility by social media platforms lacking proper controls and filters. Disappointment over football was compounded by bewildering embarrassment and disgust at the behaviour of some in our nation. But reassuringly, there was an instant, widespread, passionate backlash and reaction against discrimination, provided by comments from politicians to people in Manchester covering the vandalised part of the mural of Marcus Rashford with messages of love and support. A passion for fairness and tolerance and moderation. It has been widely observed what an impressive group this England squad appears to be, with strong, wise leadership provided by Gareth Southgate with his moderation, calmness and determination, and also a readiness to emphasise the absolute unacceptability of injustice, including racism. Tales of indulgence and revelling in the glamorous possibilities available to ludicrously remunerated sportsmen have been notable by their absence. They are mutually supportive and all present as strong role models, and several have taken the unfashionable step of declaring the central importance of their Christian faith, their thankfulness to God, and prayer. And so a reflection on the quality of these individuals and the passionate, spirited condemnation of racism have in many ways compensated for disappointment in defeat and the horror of the displays of discrimination. They give hope that the quest for equality, fairness, and moderation will gain in influence and priority. In the extract from his letter, St. Paul passes on timeless advice to the church in Philippi, a prosperous city in Asia Minor where he had previously founded the church and where he preached for the first time on European soil. As well as facing opposition from outsiders, the church seems to be experiencing internal squabbles, including disputes between the leaders. Paul appeals to the church to recall the joy of acceptance of the good news of the gospel, to apply moderation, and to reflect on activities that are lovely. Tolerance and positive spirit-led actions of love and reconciliation to maintain unity and mutual support are at the heart of, and crucial to, a fruitful, faithful church community. Richard Baxter, remembered by the church last month, was an inspirational priest, poet and hymn writer who lived during the Civil War in the 17th century, with its associated political and ecclesiastical turbulence. His ministry was marked by a commitment to moderation, to the unity of the church, as required by Jesus, and to pastoral ministry, in which he drew alongside members of his communities. Advised against attending university by his mentor, Baxter's education was informal and dependent on personal study and application. His most notable period of ministry was at Kidderminster, where he served for 17 years with a five-year hiatus while chaplain in Oliver Cromwell's army. Baxter converted the vast majority of the previously disinterested industrial town through his preaching and dedicated pastoral visiting, encouraging and counselling. Apparently a visitor walking through the streets on a Sunday during this period in Kidderminster would probably hear the singing of psalms and rehearsals of the day's sermon echoing from countless homes. Baxter suffered from repeated illnesses which informed the passion of his sermons. His mantra for preaching was, "I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men." Baxter is known as a Puritan, but he consistently plotted a moderate course in a quest to contribute to church unity. He was a peacemaker during the Civil War, believing in a limited monarchy. He preached to Cromwell on church unity, and then after the restoration of Charles II to the throne, Baxter was made a king's chaplain. He was offered the bishopric of Hereford, which he declined on the basis of the behaviour he'd observed in bishops before the Civil War. Following this refusal, he encountered opposition, bans on preaching in certain areas, and imprisonment. His writings contained timeless advice and encouragement for ministers, including his most well-known publication, The Reformed Pastor, with its detailed, practical and challenging advice for ministers based on his experiences, a book which still sells well. He exercised moderation and deeply desired unity, but he was passionate about what he understood as the fundamentals of the gospel, including his belief that the death and resurrection of Jesus were offered for the salvation of everyone, contrary to Calvinist belief that the atonement of Jesus was just for God's elect. Perhaps his most celebrated saying is, "In necessary things, unity, in doubtful things, liberty, in all things, charity." This saying was probably derived from the Lutheran theologian Peter Meidelin, who quoted the phrase in 1626, originally in Latin. Perhaps a better, more modern translation is, "In faith, unity, in opinion, liberty, and in all things, love." In the essential matters of faith, that God came into the world in Jesus Christ to save all people, that all people are equal and made in God's image, the source of true fairness, there must be unity. In less critical matters of opinion, choices of football team, choices of politics, choices of styles of worship, there is liberty. And love has to permeate through all actions and opinions. So as we look forward with hope to further success for this England team, we pray that progress will continue to be made in the quest to eradicate the blasphemy of discrimination. Some words from Richard Baxter's most famous hymn. "Ye saints who toil below, adore your heavenly King, and onward as ye go, some joyful anthem sing. Take what he gives, and praise him still through good and ill, whoever lives." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the diverse riches of your creation, the gifts of sports and the arts given for our enjoyment and inspiration. We pray for an end to the darkness of discrimination, for true celebration of diversity, for the promotion of your sense of fairness and moderation, and for the unity that you desire across your church. May the light of Christ walk with you and guide you in all you think and say and do. We ask these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, many thanks for listening to this reflection. Do join us if you're able at the church. We now have our sung Eucharist on Thursday at 12:45, classical concerts at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, and organ recitals at 12:30 on Fridays. Information about these and our online activities are available on the website. May God bless you.